B-Boy Wicked Beats. Like this. Breaking bread. B-Boy House. 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 One love to the homie B-Boy House. Breaking Bread Podcast Show. Gary Styles. Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, mic check. There we go.
Nice.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking time out of your lunch break, but I guess it's appropriate because it's breaking bread. So.
True. It's good. It worked out.
Good. So we're gonna get right into it. I know we're limited on time. So yeah, again, appreciate it. I know it's been a little bit of a challenge, but it always is for us to get on.
Yeah.
But we're here now. So, again. This is the Breaking Bread podcast, and the main idea of this is to document people, ideas, concepts, events, all that kind of thing. That in the past I haven't done such a good job as, so I want to do that for myself and for people now. And so I'm super glad to have you on. We want to talk about your event that you had in October. Talk about a few things, but that's one of the main things I think we'll be able to cover today. But can you tell us who you are, where you're from, what other people call you besides Michelle?
So my name's Michelle. I was born in New York originally, moved to Tucson, Arizona.
What year was that?
When I was around okay. 8 or 9. So I think that was 15 years ago, okay. Maybe. And now I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I studied dance and psychology at Arizona State University. People call me Michelle for the most part. My parents have different nicknames for me though. So right now I teach dance. I throw events. I do art. I create art, create dances, do research, and I do equity work and inclusion work in rock climbing and in other communities as well. So thank you so much for asking me to do this. I feel very honored to be on your podcast. Oh,
of course. It's such a helpful that, it's going to be useful for you to look back at, when you're 100 events in or published 100 research papers, and you can look back at this look at this. So let's, can you share any of your nicknames that your parents gave you?
Yeah, my parents call me Misho. It's kind of like a cute, loving Arabic way of saying Michelle.
Okay. Misho.
Yeah,
Misho. I'm going to get on the mic and call you that next time. Nice. So where are your parents from, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, of course. My parents were born in Jordan in the Middle East, and then they immigrated to New York when they were in their 20s.
And have you made it out that way yourself to Jordan?
No, I haven't. I was actually, I was there when I was 1 year old, but I don't remember it. So I'm hoping to go back.
So were you born there or born in New York?
I was born in New York. So yeah, just a year after I was born, we visited Jordan.
Nice. Cool. All right. So you're doing so much different work. So I want to get specifically to the Breaking Rules, Rocking Walls event that you did in October, which, I attended myself, and I thought it was a great event. And so I wanted to make sure that we kind of, got some of that process. And so other people was that your first event?
Yeah, that was my first big event outside of school for okay. sure.
And so I think it's important because I think there's a lot of misconceptions or a lot of like little holes that people miss on the way there. I think you did a great job, number one, because I know you did your research before that, right? I know we talked a little bit before the event, and I think it showed up at the event that everything was very well thought through, and you know, there was a lot of intention behind it. So tell me about maybe how just the whole idea of doing an event and then doing this specific event came along.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like I kind of just wanted to do something really simple at first. I wanted to create a dance with a rock wall, with a rock climbing wall. And, you know, I'm in the dance community, I'm in the rock climbing community, and I just thought it'd be cool and fun. And I had a good relationship with the rock climbing gym owner. I'd been climbing there for a couple years. So I kind of just brought that simple idea to him, you know, like if I built a 8-foot tall rock wall and did a small performance in like one section of your gym and invited like 20 people to watch. And that was it. That's all I was going to do. Maybe like a 20-minute like mini performance.
Okay.
In his gym. And then I kind of just started, you know, applying for funding, listening to my community and like listening to myself, and it kind of just exploded and developed into lots of different things. And that's when I started to seek out like research and asking for help. So one of the reasons why it developed into what it became was because, you know, there's a lot of hyper-masculinity in the climbing community. And then, you know, like racism. And I really wanted to address those issues by connecting the hip hop and rock climbing community. So if I was going to do that, I know that was kind of like an intense issue to address, and I'd have to do so much research. So I started talking to lots of people in the community. I talked to you. I asked a lot of people for help and like what they thought of the concept, if they would go. I talked to a lot of people at the rock gym, even like the idea of putting, you know, like the dance community and the hip hop community into this weird climbing space that's kind of just like totally different kind of worried me at first. I wanted to make sure people were comfortable, and it was like we could transform this space into something totally new. So that's when, you know, I started thinking about what else can I do in the space that could be useful for everybody in the community. So then I was like, yeah, maybe an art gallery. Like, this is a huge space. Maybe we can have people climbing during the event. People can be battling, watching the performance. So it just kind of like developed into this huge thing after talking to lots of people, asking for advice. And I was lucky enough to get more funding than I thought. So I was like, great, I can do more now.
So let me go back. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
There's quite a few questions already popped up. So talk to me about the, you know, because we have a wide audience of listeners, but there's probably like 10 people, mm-hmm. but that's okay. But it's a wide range of those. Within those 10 people, it's a wide range in our audience. So,
for
you know,
sure.
We might have very young people to much older people listening to this. So can you talk to me about just, What does the term hypermasculinity even mean? And then and what does that mean in the rock climbing community? Because I don't know, I guess because we're not in other communities, like that wouldn't even have crossed my mind. But tell us what that means to you and how that shows up in the rock climbing community.
For sure. So what that means to me is basically like, you know, the majority of people currently rock climbing at my gym and at many gyms are men. And so it's kind of like a male dominated space in many mm-hmm. ways. There's no gym owners in Arizona, or maybe not in Arizona, but at least in Phoenix, that are women. So the culture is like kind of based on, you know, the community that's there. So if there's a lot of men in the space, maybe it's like, you know, about strength or upper body strength. Whereas sometimes women climbers might be, you know, having more skills and flexibility or, different climbing techniques than just upper body strength. Yeah. But, you know, that's a generalization, but that's like an example of how it might show up. There's different things like, you know, maybe someone will ask you to climb with you, but that's not really their intention. Their intention is to go on a date with you or something like that. Or maybe, you know, people didn't feel as respected at first when I first joined the climbing community, because I was introduced to it by a man. And so I felt like my identity was ingrained in like this other person who showed it to me. And, you know, people didn't respect my abilities in the gym because, you know, it felt like maybe I was just there to chill or I was just there with this guy, you know what I mean? So those are a few examples of how it shows up.
Okay. And I'm going to play devil's advocate on some of this stuff, and also because I'm super curious about it. Because it was interesting that you were talking about that. What's the owner's name of the Phoenix Rock Gym?
His name is Paul Deef.
Shout out to Paul for letting us
come into
his crib and into a space like that. So he'll make sure we give those pops out. Because I can see how this can become toxic and an issue. Obviously, it's, you know, all over the world. But do you feel like it's intentional that this happens? If it's you know, it's male dominated, it's mostly male, you know, customers or members or of the community there. So it would be natural, I guess, for it to form in that kind of male shape or form. And so do you feel going in there, that it's intentional in that kind of way, or that's just the way it happened, and then we have to transition into accepting the other people, new people that come into the community?
Yeah, so I definitely don't think it's intentional. At least most of the time, I really don't think it's intentional. I think it's just, you know, the nature of what has ensued in that community. Like, you know, rock climbing is also kind of a hard activity to get into, like financially and physically. And there's just a lot of reasons why it's been male dominated for so long. So, you know, just creating that access would eliminate that issue. I don't think that it's been an intentional exclusion to women or people of color. I think it's just been, you know, a systematic thing that's been happening over many years.
Yeah,
a quick break and then back to our story.
Hello.
We're back. the joys of technology. I'm not sure where it cut off, but so we're talking about hypermasculinity showing up in this community, and what I was referring to was for people to be aware when they go into these kind of spaces that it isn't, you know, to definitely be aware of whether it's intentional or not intentional, but that it all often isn't intentional. That's just the way that community came up. And so, you know, if it's nothing but guys going to do rock climbing at first, then it's going to kind of create that kind of vibe. And so, you know, to do the work to make it equal and inclusive for everybody else. And the other thing is that we could basically replace the word rock climbing with, you know, breaking, and these same conversations are going on right now.
Yeah,
in this other community. So for our people that are out there in the dance community, and, you know, not just breaking, but in the dance community in general, you know, I think this conversation is super relevant as well. You can just translate that right over. And so the other parts, the, you know, intentions of people like, hey, you want to climb this? That's a funny icebreaker, but want to climb this wall with me, which is great. But at the same time, I'm thinking like, well, you know, so is it a social community? Is it a social, like, do people connect outside of the gym, or do people just connect in the gym?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like it's a pretty social community, depending on what kind of gym you're going to. You know, like if you're going to a competition gym where people are just trying to get better, sometimes that'll be less social. But if you're going to a community climbing gym where families and different types of people go, a lot of times people will, you know, go climb outside together or grab food, or like, it's definitely appropriate to ask people to climb with you, even if you had just met them that day.
Yeah, it's, that's interesting. You guys have, so there's different kinds of gyms, some that are more competitive and some more, I guess, recreational.
Yeah, I would say so.
Dope. And so is that, because I can see how that could get super annoying. I mean, I don't get too many women hitting at me like that, but I can imagine it would get annoying. But at the same time, I think about it like, okay, if I'm a really shy guy and this is like a, this is an icebreaker for me to try to just socialize with women, you know? And so, so I can see how it can get annoying, but at the same time, I see like, well, what about these guys that are, you know, that are socially awkward, but this is a good way to meet somebody, or so how do, where's the balance in that? I think.
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, I always look back into the intention. It's never, you know, bad to me to even like bring that up. Like if you think someone's cool, if you want to hang out, or if you want to like go on a date with them, you know, whatever, like it doesn't matter the environment you're in. I think when it becomes tricky is when like, you know, that's, this is the specific reason why I'm asking to climb with you and the only reason. Like maybe, you know, I'm not trying to be your friend, or when it becomes a little bit more aggressive, or, and you can't always tell, you can't always tell if that's what it is or the difference, you know?
And so what would you suggest to guys on how to, you know, what's, mm-hmm. Where's that line? Where's that balance? Where's that, you know, if I do want to, like, I do want to approach you, I do want to climb a wall with you, but I also really think you're really pretty and you have a good vibe. And so this is what I'm going to use as an icebreaker, but what's, you know, is there a better way to go about it than not? Or what's maybe the, you know, like I said, is what's too aggressive, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to draw like a distinct line, but I would say, you know, there's different things that people can be aware of in a climbing gym. One of those things is not giving someone advice on how to solve a climbing problem if they don't ask.
Oh.
So that sometimes that could come off as aggressive. So especially if you're a better climber, you know, or you've had more experience than someone else. So one way would, you know, be to ask someone, oh, did you want help with that? Or, you know, just being more supportive versus giving that support. Help out without asking. That's one way to appear less aggressive. Another way would just be like, you know, we're all here as a community, we're all climbing together. You know, it's kind of like, what's your mindset when you're going to the gym? At least my mindset was never like really to find people to date. So like, you know, it's good to know if that's someone's intention right yeah. away. But yeah, just, I don't know, just being like a friendly person at the gym is really enough, just without pushing an agenda too far, you know? It doesn't have to be awkward the next day right. if it doesn't work out.
right. Yeah, that's a really good that's a really good point. And I think that's a kind of an easy way to consume it, is if what your intention is when you're going to the gym. Just like if somebody's going to a practice, a dance practice or something, if my intention is there just to pick up on girls versus like I'm going there to practice and do my thing and get open, and if there happens to be someone there that I can connect with, then so be it. And I think exactly. that comes off a little bit it's a little bit natural, you know, and I think
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I think it's that line when it becomes, you know, you're thirsty, you know, as opposed to like I'm here to do my thing, and then we're connecting through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's difficult, you know, and I can only speak for myself, but, you know, and males, that like I was, you know, there's girls that I've met through dance that I would never in my life dare to approach because I just thought they were too pretty, or they thought they were whatever the case, and I just, that's not my thing. But thanks to dance, I was able to meet them. But I think, yeah, that's what your intentions are when you're going to these kind of spaces, because it's not number there for dating or anything. It's there for another thing, and hopefully other things happen. So it's good to hear that. And then you talked about earlier. So what are some of the concerns that you had when you were going to put this event?
Can you ask that again? Sorry, cut off a little bit.
Yeah, what were some of the concerns you talked about a little bit earlier about being worried about things working or not working? So what are some of the concerns that when you went? Actually, let me go back. How far in advance did you start planning this event? Even the initial idea of it, how far in advance was that?
I think the initial idea probably was like 2.5, maybe even 3 years before the event actually happened.
Wow, which is great, because it's worth the wait. Boom, boom. There you go.
Right.
So, and then when did you like start to get hands on with it?
I'd say 2 years. I'd say the whole process maybe took 2 years.
Great. And so what were some of the concerns that popped into your head? I know we talked about some of the stuff early on. What is it, some of the things that you were concerned about?
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of concerns. One of them was, you know, financial concerns. I want to make sure that everybody that was a part of the event was paid. You know, I know a lot of artists don't get paid sometimes, and that was one of the goals that I had. I wanted to pay everyone. Another concern I had was, you know, it's a sensitive topic. Like, we want to talk about the indigenous perspective. We want to talk about, like, how land was taken from people, or how, like, rock climbing is, you know, a male and white dominated space. We want to bring two communities together that aren't really, like, you know, too aware of each other very much. Like, bringing in a totally different community into a space they're not familiar with can be tricky. Yeah, so I was worried about those things for the most part.
And what was it? Was there any one that was more of a challenge than another? That maybe just weren't able to get through at all?
I think I was most concerned with, like, how do I create a comfortable community environment where we can still be uncomfortable, talk about these issues, but come together as a community and make it uplifting. That was the issue I considered throughout the whole process.
So, and so I'm gonna go off of the questions you had posted for the event. you put what social rules are we breaking, and what social mm-hmm. rules are we building up and rocking down? So could you answer those?
Yeah. So some of the rules I was talking about was really just like, you know, who's invited into this space? Who believes that they're invited to this space? Mm. So, like, socially, what barriers and walls are being built up without us even recognizing it? You know, are they financial barriers? Are they cultural barriers? Maybe the rock gym, like, you know, it has a very specific art. Like, I think I talked about how all the art is very nature-based. None of it would necessarily be graffiti art, you know. And so that might not bring in certain people in different communities. So, yeah, those were the questions I was addressing. Like, what kinds of barriers can we break down?
Nice. And what barriers do you think you broke down?
I think I felt, you know, really good and successful in the who ended up attending the event, and what a lot of climbers actually learned from the event. People, you know, were telling me, like, oh, I didn't know that that was the indigenous perspective, and I didn't know this is what hip-hop was like. I've never been to one of these events. And people talked about how the energy in the space was so, like, different, so uplifted, so much more community oriented, and people felt good. I think that's because the hip-hop community came in, and, like, the dance and the spirit and the energy was so different there than it ever has been. So I think that broke down some social barriers. Like, this space can be inviting to anybody, and we can change the environment. It doesn't have to be one way.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Absolutely. And so what would you say your connection with you keep referring to hip-hop, so what is your connection to hip-hop?
So that was actually one of my other concerns, was, like, making sure that it's not even, like, that I could put on something mm-hmm. like this and not overstep, you know, my place in the hip hop community. Originally, I started dancing in Tucson.
Okay.
And I was in some I took classes and learned from some people in Tucson, breaking and popping and stuff like that, and house and Vogue. And then I came to Phoenix and I went to school. I took classes from you.
Yeah.
One of my favorite breaking classes. I took class from Mylin and classes at Jukebox. And, you know, I've battled here and there. Never threw an event. And I don't have a name in the scene. Like, I don't consider myself to have that kind of presence. Okay. And so, yeah, so that was one of the concerns I had as well. Like, is it valid for me to try to do this? but, you know, I figured just do it. And I got a lot of positive feedback from people around me, and that was very encouraging.
Nice.
But yeah, I have a lot of people that I look up to in the hip hop community.
So, and so you also juggle in your when you're talking between dance community and hip hop community. Do you think, at least in there is, or at least in Phoenix, do you think they're one and the same? Do you think they're separate things?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I would say, you know, the dance community falls into the greater hip hop community, but maybe they're not one and the same. Like, maybe they're just different clusters of communities that all to come together, but there's probably a lot of unity inside of each community. I'm a lot more aware of like dance and maybe, you know, DJing than other parts of the culture, like such as graffiti, stuff like that, emceeing. So
so let's go to funding. So you were able to pull off what seemed right, the list of sponsors that you got, you know, the Phoenix Rock Gym, Arizona Commission of the Arts, Tempe Vibrant City Grant, AZ Women's Climbing Coalition, REI Paradise Valley, Keep Bringing Beautiful. Shout out to all of them for supporting the event. So, you know, yeah. How, because that is one of the biggest challenges. And you know, honestly, even for myself, after your event, I was like, okay, I really got to get my things straight, and we got to start really getting some funding to do this, because, you know, we've been doing this for over 2 decades, but it's always really just out of pocket. And I have my reasons of why, you know, in the past, I think it's been intimidating, or it's been like, that's not really for us, or that's not even possible for me to ask for funding for this. So how was it that you were able to navigate through that so confidently?
Yeah, that's definitely a big barrier, I feel like, for a lot of these things. And part of why I was even like able to apply for these grants or to think about them as an idea was because I learned and applied for grants for my psychology degree. So really, I just had like an extra skill that could apply to this. And I, you know, I knew how to talk to those types of people. For example, like, it's getting better these days when you apply for grants, like you don't have to appeal to the grantor as much. But, you know, that's where I got my confidence to apply for the grant for, and hoped that this idea would be something that they were interested in. A lot of the people that are on the panels are just people from the community. Now, you know, I served on a grant panel, and they you know, often ask the people that won the grant to be on the panel, because, you know, you're just an artist from the community that created work and that can empathize with the person that's applying. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of the ways.
I felt confident. So, what would you say to somebody that's again, because even myself, even though I've gone through school and I've kind of been on that side of the fence as well, but again, it would seem very foreign. And I think, yeah, in the past when I went to apply for stuff, I felt very out of place. You know, mm-hmm. And recently I went to meet with the Arizona Commission of the Arts, and it's completely different there, when it felt much more welcoming. But what would you say to somebody, you know, because when, you know, maybe I'm a young man or woman, and I want to do an event, mm-hmm. but just the word grant is like,
yeah,
you're like, what? That's, and you think of this gigantic, overwhelming thing. So what would be your suggestion for somebody that didn't have that opportunity to learn it through, like, you know, like you said, through your grant writing for your psychology, like maybe, you know, just a regular person that doesn't have those kind of access to those resources, at least that knowledge. Well, what is it you would suggest to them, or how would you, what would be your advice for them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. One, I'd say, you know, talk to me. I always love talking to people about these things and reading their grants and supporting. The AZ Commission on the Arts, Tempe, and all these other people that provide grants, like you said, are a lot more welcoming. And even if you just shoot them an email and tell them, honestly, like, you know, I've never done this before. I'm concerned about, these are my concerns. Like, is there someone I can meet with and talk to? They'd be more than willing to talk to you, even if it's over the phone, if you don't have the resources to meet them in person. There's a lot of examples of grants on their websites. That's one thing I did too, was just look up the examples to see like what kinds of things are they even interested in funding, or what do they sound like? You know, sometimes there's free workshops in the community. I would be down to support something where, like, you know, if it was like how to write grants for a hip hop event, like, I'd be down to help support that, or you know, read grants or help people out with that. Because I do think it's really important that this funding, like, reaches all the types of arts and not just, like, the one kind people think it should reach.
Right. So y'all heard it here. So, I mean, and that's great. That's other, you know, because, like, right now I've been talking with Ruby, which you guys are doing some work together. And she offered the same thing. And it's for me, it's more the time, but it's also, again, not something I'm super comfortable with. But there, you know, I know she offered to help us do some stuff for Worth the Wait and for the anniversary and that kind of thing. So is that something people could reach out to you for help? And what would be, so how does something like that work for yourself? So I know for Ruby, I think she called it like an administration fee or something, right? Some kind of trade-off. And I know I've heard people like, all right, I'm going to write the grant and then I get, you know, a percentage of the grant if it comes through type of thing. So is that something that you're open to people as well?
Yeah, you know, I haven't like thought about, to be honest, I haven't thought about the logistics too closely. I've supported people, you know, let's put it this way. Like when I was writing this grant and doing, I had a consultation with Yvonne Montoya.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a free consultation. She, you know, she just supported me. And also, like, lots of people supported me when I was doing that research. So I think I just feel, like, the desire to give that support back. But, yeah, of course, if it's, like, a big organization or something, or, like, you know, if we can do, like, a mutual exchange of a beneficial exchange for both of us, I'd be down to do that as well.
Yep. Yeah, and I just want to put it out there so people that might want to be doing events, but if they, you know, they're absolutely just – again, it seems like a very grand thing to do if it's foreign to you. But and I think from that last meeting that I had over at the Arizona Commission of the Arts, that's one of the things that they said too, is like you can use this as a resource. People don't use this as a resource to learn about this stuff or to come look at their grants or whatnot, which I was, again, I wasn't aware of or thought that they would do. I'm not sure why, but so it's good to have people, I think. And, you know, I want to create even more awareness of, like, there are people that are already putting their hands on this stuff that can help us out within our communities, you know, so we're not struggling to come out of pocket. We're not struggling to, you know, do the very minimal thing. And, you know, because, again, I love that so many people support each other and all the events that we do. But I think that is the goal, is that everybody can, you know, get compensated for their time and their work and, you know, their experience. So I'm glad that you were able to say that.
Hello.
Hi. all right. So we're almost out of time. We're getting there close. I'll give you some time to get back to work. So what kind of work are you doing now?
Right now I teach dance at an elementary school. I'm working on an event with Ruby and Shelley under our organization Twined. We're hoping to become a nonprofit soon. I do dance administrative work, like writing grants and supporting dancers. I work for Yvonne Montoya right now doing that.
And where's Yvonne Montoya based out of?
She's based out of Tucson, but she's also does a lot of work in Phoenix as a Latinx dance choreographer. She's super great, really smart. Great person to talk to about grants.
Okay.
Also.
Nice, good to know. And so tell me about Twined, about this nonprofit you guys are trying to start.
Yeah, so Twined, you know, started with me, Ruby, and Shelley just wanting to get together and do something in our community and bring people together. That's really the premise of it. It's just like bringing different communities together, allowing people to be their authentic self and express their culture and their identity freely and openly through art and food and connecting, like, you know, like how we're doing now with Breaking Bread.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've just been kind of working out creating some events. We've had a couple in the past, two or three events in the past, and we're planning a couple for the next few months, two in April actually, and one is called Breaking Bread.
Let's go. And it's all connected.
What was that?
I said it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. And then we have another event we're doing in collaboration with Tempe Center for the Arts in April.
Nice. Awesome. What would you, let's jump around a little bit. So what would you tell yourself now, like the Michelle in the beginning of this process, what is something that you would definitely want to give yourself advice about?
I think I'd tell myself to be like less afraid and, you know, less worried about if, what if I'm wrong or what if it doesn't go well? What if people get mad or, you know, what if I actually don't know anything about this? Like all of those fears were necessary, but I think I took them to a little bit of an extreme. So I think I would tell myself, you know, like have these fears, ask the important questions, but you know, you'll do the research and you'll find the answers if you do the hard work and you don't have to be so afraid. Yeah.
Awesome. And so we're talking about other good things. So what would be the cons of this, or what would be, did you get any backlash? Did you get any negative, you know, not that I want to focus on that, but just being realistic that, you know, a lot of times you can put your whole heart into this and have 100% intentions and you still kind of get some, you know, some not great, not positive feedback all the time. Is there anything that didn't work, or that, you know, maybe worked regardless of, but you just didn't get the positive feedback that you might have expected, or, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. I, you know, a couple things didn't work out like the way I thought. For example, we were going to do story circles at my event, but we ended up cutting them because it was a totally different energy. Like we were, you know, we were doing battles and it would have just been weird to just stop or just to like add something with a totally different energy, like story circle. So we did end up editing the event just in the middle of the event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another thing, some people weren't so down for some of the things that I was talking about. You know, some people thought, well, isn't this like exclusive for you to, you know, create? Because I had a climbing event just for women of color. Mm-hmm. It was a free event, but it was only for, you know, women of color to create this access and inclusion. But people, you know, felt like, well, you know, aren't you excluding certain types of people by doing that? So I addressed things like that.
How did you address that specifically? What was your response to that?
Yeah, so I kind of just like, you know, let some of these people know that like these groups have been excluded for years. And, you know, in order to create equity, sometimes we have to do this hard work where, you know, now I have to give back to this community and give them the support that they need to try this activity. And, you know, the people who came, none of them had tried it before. Like they were all, you know, new people. And of course, we didn't exclude if people were there, they brought their equipment or they, you know, came to our event. That's cool. But yeah, sometimes you have to do the hard and painful work of seeing like, this is the truth that, people have been excluded for many years. So let's bring them up to where we are. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that concern, but I also feel like, I think I was talking to a young lady in my class the other day about, because I used to do just B-girl sessions, and then I didn't really even put any thought as far as to like, is anybody going to get offended, or is anybody going to question like, well, you're not a girl, so why are you doing these, you know what I mean? But it was more of a, you know, and again, it wasn't to exclude anybody, it's just a different energy, right? It's a different energy, like the groups that you have there. So if you have women of just color, that's going to be a different energy connection. That's necessary. That, and so when you're talking about these people being included in the past, I think that's part of it, is these people haven't had a chance to get together and vibe with each other and just have that pure energy, you know, of the same struggles or the same kind of issues that they're dealing with. So I think that is important. And how did those events go? They went well. You said people, new people came out that never had done it before, which I think is a gain in itself, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a really good point, because people felt more comfortable because of the people that were around them in the space. And yeah, the event was very warm and like, you know, people weren't as nervous because they knew, like, we were all new doing this. And that was where the biggest support came from REI, because they paid for this, you know, entire free event where they provided shoes, they provided all the gear, helmets, and they taught everybody everything. And they were there with us the whole time. They brought us there to the outdoor, you know, area. They hiked us over. So it was like, wow, like how can we have more access than this type of a free event? Yeah. So hopefully we can like do more things like that. But yeah,
shout out to REI. That's super fresh.
Absolutely.
Anybody that can support like that, because that's a big commitment, right? And people really have no, especially when you're running some kind of business or something, like it doesn't make sense with the business plan to do these kind of things all the time.
totally free. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a nice sacrifice that, not even a sacrifice, but it's a nice contribution that people can make just to other people in general.
Yeah.
Sure. Is there any major crossovers between, let's talk about specifically breaking and rock climbing that you have seen or that you learned or became more aware of or from this experience?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that's where some of my inspiration came from, was that, like, you know, each one teach one, you know, things that happen in the breaking community, hip hop community, happen in the climbing community as well, just, you know, in different ways with different types of people. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Also, like, the strength and the physicality of it. Like, you know, I've definitely improved my upper body strength from rock climbing, but also from breaking. Mm-hmm. And my core strength and flexibility, like a lot of the things felt very connected. Like when I was training and breaking, I felt like I was also training and climbing. A lot of the movements felt kind of like similar, the way we press our hands into the floor in climbing, the way you press your hands down. If you're doing like it's called a mantle, on the rock wall. So yeah, there was a lot of similarities that were really interesting to me.
So I think that, you know, when people are looking for alternative, you know, whether people get burnt out and, you know, one or other, you can jump into the other thing as well. And
I think
we often don't look, we forget, or even though we say it, but we forget to look outside of our own little communities to get this the other inspiration. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody from the rock climbing community that started breaking because of this or started dancing?
you know, I'm not sure. I know that actually a lot of people after taking class, they took B-Girl Bonita's class. They asked me, you know, oh, where does she teach? Does she teach out here? And how can we take more classes? So people were for sure interested. And I think they also felt really comfortable because they were able to dance in their own like setting because it was in the rock gym, the class.
Yeah. That makes space.
So yeah, I think people were definitely like really interested in it, especially at the event. They're like, wow, this is like the most energy I've ever seen. Like, I hope I can do this again or go to one of these things again. So yeah, it'd be a good idea for me to like check back in with those people that told me that to see if how they're doing or if they've been taking more class.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to know. And how about the other way around? Is there any people from the dance community that you've seen jump into the rock climbing?
Well, I know that a lot of the people that have been close to me, at least, my dancers that started off just as dancers and they weren't climbers at all are still climbing now. It's Alani and Kayla. Shout out to them.
Dope.
and a couple dancers I've seen come to the gym, you know, like at least a couple times trying it out for the first time, which was really cool. And it was something I didn't actually expect to happen from the event. But because I brought Kayla and Alani, then, you know, Kayla told Panic and Alani told some of her friends. And it kind of like grew into this thing where I was like, oh, wow, that's like I'm just seeing a DJ and a B-boy. I'm seeing these
people. Panic went rock climbing?
Yeah, he did.
I want to see Panic. Come on. Shout out to my boy Panic. I'm fucking with Panic.
That was dope.
Super fresh. That's also interesting about doing it, and that's one of the things that I also enjoyed about the event is because it was in a different space, right? It's just that's the nature of hip hop culture in general, is that remix and mashing things that normally don't fit together, or people or society try to tell you like you mm-hmm. can't put these things together. So putting that and it's interesting to, you know, maybe having a dance class for adults in their own setting of somewhere that they're comfortable in, as opposed to like come to this dance studio or come to this other space that's
for sure
just in itself is going to be intimidating when you walk into some of these spaces. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting concept to pursue more is changing where we have these things to make it more comfortable for different communities.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole nother line of workshops right there.
Yeah,
we're gonna do a grant workshop. We're gonna do these other dance workshops in different spaces. I'm really happy that I was able to connect with you, and I'm hoping right now. I didn't realize that you guys were doing the Twine organization together, which is super exciting, and I'm super excited to see what you guys are gonna build with that. And I'm definitely gonna reach out to you guys to build more and bring each other's assets to each other. So
yes please.
anything else, any major shout outs you want to do or is there anything I didn't ask you that you're like, this is information that I really want to get out to the public?
I guess, you know, I'm still doing this work. If people, you know, are interested, I still have lots of climbing shoes to donate for little kids. I think I have like 50 little kid climbing shoes right now. Yeah, I'm still doing the work. If anyone wants to throw a jam at the Rock Gym, you know, connect with me. They loved it and they want us to do more there. So, and you know, he gave me the space for free. So I'm sure he's down to do that again, or, you know, really support in that way. Yeah. I'm down to support, help with grants, help, shout out to you, House, for being one of my main inspirations and supporters for this event in the first place.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
And so that, now that you bring up that with the owner, is there anything, any misconceptions or any myths that on either side that you, that people, you know, maybe were like, I thought these events were like all rap music, or I thought these events, anything that you heard from people like that?
They didn't necessarily say it like that, but I kind of felt it by the vibe. Like, oh, I didn't know that this was what hip hop events were like. Oh, I didn't know that like people came together and did battles like that. I think people just were, you know, they just, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. Even having my parents there, that was their first time at a jam.
Sick.
So yeah, I think it just kind of like educated people on like, you know, this is community. You can bring your family to this.
Right. What did your parents think?
Oh, they had a good time. They thought it was really fun. Yeah, they enjoyed it.
Are they dancers? Do they dance?
No, they're not dancers.
Not at all.
Not at all.
You can't get them up to boogie.
Yeah.
Sweet. I feel like the minute that we get off, I'm like, ah, and I made notes. But
I know, right? I think
I have everything. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Breaking_Rules_Breaking_Walls. Find me on Facebook, same name, Breaking Rules Rockin' Walls. Or you can find me, just my name, Michelle Margie. It's kind of a unique last name, so you'll find me.
yeah, no doubt. Awesome. Well, Michelle, I'm going to let you get back. Again, I appreciate you, taking out your lunch break for us. I know you could be, hopefully you got something to eat in your belly anyway. what I'm hoping is that we'll follow up in the future again. That way we can touch back and see where you're at. You know, maybe after some of these other events that you guys put together, we can check back and see how things have changed and how things have grown. So shout outs to you. And, you know, keep doing the work. It makes me super proud to see you guys, you know, putting in the work like this. I was just talking to a guy yesterday from a water company. And they were talking about doing more work with women. And I always say, like, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but in Arizona, we have a lot of strong women, a lot of strong leaders.
For sure.
And so I'm super happy about that. And I'm glad you're there doing the work. And, you know, you guys always know you guys got me in support. We're here. So thank you again. Have a great day. And I'm going to get this up as soon as possible.
Nice. You too, House. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Peace.